the time of trouble. You know, like when I was watching the news this week, and I thought maybe I should change the sermon for Saturday. Look for something more positive, right? Time of trouble. How do you watch the news lately? Especially CNN or Fox or whatever, these major networks. What is the big deal right now in 24 hours news? What they are talking about? Ebola, right? Ebola here, Ebola there. They have, I don't know how many people in isolation, people in cruises, people in airplanes. And I get surprised because I know that we know that this can happen, and it's happening right now. But that is affecting different people in different ways. And a lot of people is getting really, really scared about these things. They are afraid. And don't let fear interfere with your normal life. You know, this is part of life and disease and problems and all these things. Jesus mentioned this in Matthew 24, you remember? And in our previous sermon, we were talking about the difference between the rapture and the difference in what the Bible said about the second coming. And one of the major subjects that the people who believe in the rapture teach is that it will be a time of trouble. And I mentioned before also that we agree with that the Bible mentioned a time of trouble. This can be applied in different ways. Maybe you are experiencing right now a time of trouble. It's possible that you are having a personal crisis right now and we are not aware of that. But it's possible that you are having problems at home. It's possible that maybe somebody in your family recently received the news that had cancer or another terrible disease. It's possible that somebody had been laid off. I don't know. It's many, many crises that come to our lives, and in occasions we are not prepared, right? They just appear and things happen to us and the last moment that we are waiting for. If you are passing through a moment of trouble right now, I would like to let you know that God is with you and with me. Amen? That although the Bible mentioned crisis and difficulties in the future, also mentioned that God will be with his people until the end of times. And he is always reassuring us that his presence is always with us. Amen? So before we move on, I would like you to have another prayer with me before we begin in our sermon today. Dear God, again, we ask you for your company, for your guidance, for your direction. Now that we are opening the Bible, we ask you for your completely understanding, Lord, and better acknowledgement of the things that they are coming to us. Help us to trust in you and rely on you always. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned before that the Bible describes a time of trouble. And one of the Bible verses, if you are so kind and open your Bibles, is found in Daniel 12. Daniel 12 begins with this interesting Bible verse, and I want to read it. It's quite well known in Christianity. This is what the scripture said about the time of trouble. At that time, Michael shall stand up, and the great prince who stands, just jump from one verse to 20. At the end of time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands over the sons of your people, and they shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. I mentioned before that the people who believe in the secret rapture and us, we believe in the second coming, we agree on this point, that near to the second coming, it will be a time of crisis, a time of trouble, a time of problems. And you can ask Pastor, but society and humanity had always confronted different times of trouble, right? If you were alive during the Vietnam War, then you will understand the time of trouble for this nation. You know, a lot of people, younger people, going to this Asian country and dying there in a faraway land. If you have members of your family, maybe they are alive and they were alive during World War II, they will remember a difficult time of trouble in World War II. That was terrible. Millions of people lost their lives during this war confrontation. I don't know if you had maybe somebody in your family that was alive during the Great Depression in the 1920s and 30s. This country was under a lot of distress, and people was without work and without food and without houses, to a point that nowhere had seen in a long time in history here in this country. It was a big time of trouble for them. For us, it's just the past. And we look at these problems and we think, oh, maybe that won't happen again. However, somebody say that history had a tendency to repeat, right? 2007, 2008, you remember, we have a big financial crisis in the country. If you are like me and you have some savings in the 401k plan or 401(3) plan, whatever savings you have for retirement, you discover that one day half of your plan was gone. You know, we lost, I remember, almost 60% of all my investments. I don't do the investments. A company does that for us. But the market got down so bad and so terrible in a few months that pretty much everything was gone. And you wonder, is this the time of trouble? Is this is the time that the Bible is speaking here? So in reality, we don't know yet. We know that the circumstances that we have right now, they are really bad. This new disease that I was mentioned before, the Ebola, you know, is spreading in many parts of Africa and even here and in other countries. It's possible that we will have people sick through this disease. Is that the time of trouble that the Bible is speaking about? We don't know. What we know is that it's part of these all things that are happening. Please open your Bibles in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew is one of the this chapter in Matthew is one of the prophetic chapters, and it's describing the things that will happen previous to the second coming of Christ. I won't read the whole chapter, but I will read only certain portions of the book. For instance, Matthew 24:15. This is what the Bible is saying here. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that caused desolation, spoken through the prophet of Daniel, let the reader understand. So Jesus is using this language that is symbolic to describe problems for Israel, crises that they were happening. When this happened? When do you think it happened? Well, if you were one of the listeners of Jesus at the time, this happened in the year 70 when the Roman soldiers invade Jerusalem and take control of the city, and they burned pretty much everything. The whole city was burned to the ground. The sanctuary was destroyed. Thousands of people had to flee the city, escaping for their lives. Thousands of people died during these battles in Jerusalem. And if you were one of these disciples reading this prophecy, you will say at the time, this has been fulfilled. Jesus is speaking of this great problem. Because remember, Jesus is speaking to an audience that they have in mind the prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Now, it's something that I found here in Matthew 24:6 that I want you to read with me, because this is part of the message today, and I think it's important to remember this. Let's read it together. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are what? No trouble. But for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So what is Jesus' advice for you, and what is Jesus' advice for me in difficult times? Don't get stressed out, right? Don't kill yourself with fear. You know these things will happen. We need to be prepared, but don't panic, because when people start panicking, we make mistakes. We get afraid, and we can't function. If we get confronted with problems here in this nation, keep in mind that a lot of people around the whole world right now is suffering distress too. If you look at the news, you will find out that conflict in many nations in Africa, conflicts in nations in South America, conflicts with nations in Asia. Right now is a big protest happening in Hong Kong. You know, that kind of like is interesting to me, because that nation is quite secretive, and they protect their decisions no matter what is the cause. But still, it's people asking for change, because they are desperate and they are looking for different changes. So the Bible is talking about a time of trouble previous to the second coming of Christ. What we can do is watch and look and pay attention to the signs that they are happening outside, but be confident that God is still in control, that God is still having the upper hand in this situation. So don't let these things stress you to the point that you don't want to go out. I had people and friends, family, that they are visiting us next week, and we were talking to Denise. Right now, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people is afraid of taking an airplane. Will you be afraid of taking an airplane right now? If somebody started sneezing beside you, you wonder, what is that, a regular cold, or that's something more terrible behind that? Right? You remember the moms after 9/11, how everybody was kind of like in this very stressful mood that everything looked suspicious. And if you are like brown like me, then are you Hindu? Are you Muslim? Everybody was kind of like afraid of foreigners. Well, this is the reason that happened when trouble comes to a nation. People start behaving different. Even Christians behave different. And it's because we get stressed out and we get afraid. So let's read more of what Jesus was saying to the disciples, Matthew 24:21. This is what the Bible says. For there will be great distress, great problems, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. So Jesus is describing this final time, previous to the second coming, as something that don't have any comparison at all. The conditions in society and humanity will be terrible, and people will really suffer a lot of distress for this. Matthew 24:8. What is Matthew 24:8 saying again? Let's read it together. This is what the Bible says. All these are what? So you are wondering, Pastor, we are having problems right now. Are you saying that this is only the beginning? It will be worse later? Well, according to what the scripture is saying, it's true. It will be worse. You know, I always keep in mind is that after the day becomes really dark and the storm finally arrives, there's hope to see a new day, right? The sun will eventually shine again and people will have hope. And this is what I want you to keep in mind when you are reading prophecies, that you will be confronted with things that they are really, really bad, but it's also confronted with the message from God. After these things, Jesus will appear. It will be hope. It will be changes. Things will be better. The Bible also mentioned here in Jeremiah 37, this is the Bible verse that Gabriela read for us today, and Jeremiah is saying something about Jacob. How awful that day will be. No other will be like this. It will be the time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. The time of trouble of Jacob. What is the Bible speaking when it's talking about the time of trouble? You need to remember the story of Jacob. You remember when Jacob was coming back to home. You remember that part? And he was afraid that his brother Esau was planning to kill him, not only kill him, but also kill his family and destroy everything. So for Jacob was a lot of distress. It was a lot of stress thinking that this encounter with his brother will end really, really bad. His brother have a lot of powerful soldiers, and he didn't have armies or anything. He only have a family of children and women. And he was praying and talking to God during the whole night. And in that moment of difficulty, in that moment of prayer, somebody appeared to Jacob, and he thought, maybe this is one of the soldiers of my brother. He's saying to kill me. And he started fighting with this person without knowing who he was. I don't know if Jacob even had the time to ask, and he just started wrestling with this stranger here. And it seems, according to what Scripture mentioned in Genesis, that they battled for a long time, to the point that when it was close to the morning, the stranger said, let me go. I had to go. And Jacob realized that he was dealing with somebody divine, with somebody that was a representative of God. And Jacob asked this person, don't go without blessing me. Don't leave me alone here without knowing that you are with me. In other words, he's asking God to give him the reassurance that no matter what will happen with his brother, his presence will be with him. And at that moment, you encounter in the story that this person, this character there, eventually bless Jacob at the last moment and give him a physical reminder of that, the presence of that encounter. Since that moment on, Jacob have like a small limp as a consequence of this encounter that he had with God. But God was telling Jacob, even in the most difficult times, I will be with you. Even in the most desperate moments, I will be with you. So why is a time of trouble? What do you think is the reason for the time of trouble? Can God move from a regular life to salvation without us to having passed into this crisis? Why God is allowing this to happen? Have you ever wondered about this? Is he enjoying seeing you suffer and getting into pain and distress? What do you think is the answer for that? Well, I want to read a quote from a book that is called The Great Controversy. Here, it's interesting. Keep in mind that we believe that right now it's a conflict between God and Satan, and they are dealing and they are fighting for human beings. The battle that the Bible describes is about the battle of the mind, the battle of the hearts. People is making decisions either to accept God or to reject God. That's the battle that the Bible is describing here. And this battle happens every day, in every moment, in every place, and even here today, it can be happening in your heart right now. So this book says something like this. Satan then plunged the inhabitants of the earth into one great final trouble. As the angels of God cease to hold in check the fierce winds of human passion, all the elements of strife will be loose. So what the Bible is saying here is, near to the second coming of Christ, every human will be alone pretty much to make their final choice, either to follow God or either to reject him, you know, and do whatever you think is better. Do you have evidence that God will allow this to happen? Yes, you find this in Romans chapter 1. Please open your Bibles with me in Romans 1. And let me read these two verses from Romans 1 because I think they are important. Romans 1, verse 18. This is what the Bible is saying about people rejecting God and how God treated them, you know, how God allowed them to continue. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and the irrationalness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And now read verse 24 here in chapter 1. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So when human beings decide that they don't want to have part with God, what God does? Well, what he does is just allow you to continue in the path that you already has chosen, you know, right? If you had made that choice, God wouldn't intervene to make you change your mind. So we are speaking here that it will be a moment in history, we don't know when eventually every human being had to make their own decision in reference to God, either accepting God as a savior or rejecting him and, you know, moving in the different direction. But even if you reject God, God won't force you to obey him, or God won't enforce his belief in you. He will allow you to reap the consequences of our decisions. It's like when you are talking to people today and you are trying to present to them what the Bible is saying about these final events. A lot of people will look at you and say, you know what, thank you for the message, but in reality, I don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. I just want to believe whatever I want to believe. What you can do for someone like that? Nothing, right? Other than praying for this person and, oh, wait, thank you so much for your time and have a good day. It's no much that you can do for these people when you are preaching to them and they finally reject your message. And you find in the Bible, it's strange, but when you are reading about the prophets, you will find that every single time that Israel was in crisis, God sent a messenger. Every single time. And every single time that they received a messenger, what happened with the majority? They reject the message. It's interesting, right? And it repeats, it's like a cyclical story. You read from Isaiah talking to the kings and talking to the nation, and they reject him. Then he sent Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is doing the same thing. They reject him. You are speaking about Daniel in Babylon. The majority of the people in Babylon reject him. You are speaking of Ezekiel in Jerusalem, living among the captives in Babylon too, and talking to these people for repentance and for returning to God. the majority of the nation reject him. So every single time until Christ, you will find the majority of the people, every single time that God sent a message, what the people did? Reject the message. Not only that, but interesting enough, it seems like they react in a violent way. And every single time that God is trying to move their hearts to the right way, they get angry. And look what happened to John the Baptist. He ended being decapitated. Look what happened to Jesus. He ended in a cross. Look what happened to Paul, you know, decapitated. And many of the prophets and messengers from God didn't have a good ending. And you will probably thinking, well, if that's the case, I don't want to be a messenger, right? You know, I don't want that to happen to me, ending losing my head. And in reality, this is something that we don't select. This is a path that God allowed to certain people to pass through. Some people, because their witness and their testimony and their message, are allowed to suffer these terrible deaths. But keep in mind that death for God is not a problem, because he can bring somebody back to life. So the Bible is speaking about time of trouble, it's speaking about times of difficulty. But I want to leave you with some promises that you find in Scripture. And this is one of my verses that I found reassurance in Scripture. Let's go to the book of Romans right here and read chapter 8. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And I'm pretty sure that you have read this before, starting in verse 37. If you have this, say amen. All right, you're still awake. That's good. Verse 37 here in Romans 8. What is the Bible saying here? Yet in all these things, what? We are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any of their creatures, created things, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is a beautiful promise right there. What is the Bible saying to you? That even in the most difficult times, God is close to you. You know, one of the things that we learn when we are passing through pain, when you are crying, when you are suffering, when you are crying and you are having a lot of tears, the pain doesn't let you see what is going on after that, because you are getting so much distress, so much emotional pain. But God is reassuring you that even in this difficult time, he is with you. Many, many years ago, I experienced a very bad situation in our family with the death of members of my family. And you probably have experienced that too in your personal life. If you haven't, I'm glad you are a blessed person. But eventually, sooner or later, we will get through these moments. And when I reflect on what happened at the time and how God allowed me to get through this difficult time, I'm really grateful that we have a great God. I'm telling you today that the pain didn't go away right away. You know, I wish I can tell you, yes, you believe in God, you won't have any pain. It's like magic. It will go away and you will be happy the next day. It's a lie. It takes time. It's months of being depressed and suffering and feeling really sad and sorrow. But it's amazing how God starts working in your heart, and eventually all these pains start easing and you are able to move on. And through that process, I'm grateful that we have friends and that we have people at church that were praying for us, and that we have a Savior that understands our pain too. Let me read you another promise. This is found in the book of Psalms. This is Psalms 27, verse 5. This is what the Bible says here. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and he set me high upon a rock. You don't think it is amazing? God is always trying to give us, you know, little sparkles of hope here and there, even in the most difficult times. Psalms 56, 16. This is what the Bible is saying here. In the time of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me and shelter me in his sacred tent, and he set me high upon the rock. Very similar to the one that you just read before. Psalms 138, 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. How many of you have read Psalms 91? Have you read Psalms 91? It's amazing. It's a beautiful promise. My mom used to repeat these Psalms in many occasions. And I want to read verse 1 and 2 in this beautiful psalm. Used to be sure and reassure you that God is always in control. This is what the Bible said here in this psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. You know, this war has brought comfort to counters of Christians everywhere. And reality is that even when faith, that doesn't mean that we won't experience trouble or pain. What we'll experience is the presence of God. I was reflecting the other day, preparing for this sermon, because I want to leave a message of hope and optimism for you. Do God really care for you? Do you feel that He loves you? I want you to keep in mind that even in the most difficult times, God's presence can be felt. When I was a teenager, in the city where I was growing up, we have a lot of issues with gangs, when group of teenagers doing stupid things. And I was part of one of these groups. Never joined a gang or anything, but I wasn't always a good boy. I can tell you that my mom have a high expectations of me, and sadly I disappoint her many, many times. But I remember experience that kind of made me reflect seriously in my life. And it was to a friend of mine who we go to the same elementary school. We knew each other since we were really small. His name was Ricardo. And Ricardo's dad was a carpenter. And they didn't have a lot of money, you know. And I don't think no one in my neighborhood have a lot of money. But they were a good family. And his dad was always working and trying to provide for their family. And at the time, I remember that Ricardo had a cousin that wasn't a good influence. And he liked to smoke pot. And it's still little petty things here and there. And one day, Ricardo and his cousins, they go to a river in the city. And they were watching a man who was swimming at the river. And they get the brilliant idea that let's rob these guys the money. You know, he's far away, he won't notice. I don't know if my friend was under the influence of the drugs at the time. I don't know. What I know is that he decided that he will rob this guy. And when they were going around the property of this man, this person noticed, and he come out of the river running toward them. So they realized that they had been caught, you know, with their hands, and they start running away from this guy. And according to the witness, the people who watched what happened, this person have a knife in his bag, and he get the knife and start chasing them with a knife. And the river didn't have like a trail or anything. It's just a bunch of rocks, I guess. They were running nearby the river. And something happened, and my friend Ricardo fell. And this person finally caught him. And without an explanation, without any hesitation, he put the knife in his back and left him there, bleeding. The cousin later tell the friends what happened is that when he noticed that Ricardo was bleeding there, he came back to try to bring some help, but the knife was punctured his lung and heart. But he was able to talk to him for a few seconds there. And he was pleading for his life. Please don't let me die here. Don't let me die here. That's the only thing that he managed to say at this last moment. What I remember from this experience is the moment when we all go to the funeral place, to the cemetery. And I remember seeing his mom, this this lady crying, really, really sad, and grasping the coffin and pleading with the people there, don't let him go to the ground. And it was a very sad and distressful moment for all their friends and family. Very, very painful situation for this young man. Why, for me, it was a very interesting story, something that changed my life. Because I remember doing similar things that my friend was doing at the time. Being in bad company, being in the wrong place, doing the wrong things. And I was thinking, that could be me right there, and that can be my mom crying over my body there. And it was shocking, you know, to me, as thinking, I don't want to die like that. I don't want to go like that. I don't see how you can make sense of this. And in reality, I don't know how I will finally go to rest. But one thing I'm pretty sure, that one day it will be my time too. What I want to keep in mind is this, that even when that time arrives, whenever it is, I'm certain that my God will provide for me and for my family. I'm certain that God will take care of the people that is left here. I'm certain that He will promise a new life and a better life, and I'm looking forward for this. And that's the reason that I'm talking to you today. Just to remind you that God had promises in the Scripture. And even when we are living in difficult times right now, or difficult times that they will come to our nation in the future, we can be certain that God will be with you. Amen? So if you are experiencing pain in the personal level, if you are experiencing trouble in your marriage right now, if you are experiencing trouble at work when somebody there giving you problems and making your life difficult, keep in mind that God is with you. Amen? That He is always being with you, even when you don't see Him, when you feel that He is not there, God is there present with you. And please keep in mind that He always provides for us in all the circumstances. Heavenly Father, again, we ask You today for Your blessing before leaving the church. We ask You for Your reassurance and Your company and Your presence in our lives. We ask You, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to bring comfort in every heart present. In Jesus' name, amen.